I'm Chuck, the public enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous roof.
What's up? This is DOC, the DDD motherfucking doc.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Eddie Murray.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice Warp.
This your man, Mastermind of Hell, Razor.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Everybody, it's your boy Prez. Welcome back to the Murder Master Music Show. This episode 789. We got Daniel Jordan. He's going to be talking about his latest project, Dark Night of the Soul, which just dropped not too long ago, just literally a few days ago. And also, if you want some more good music, make sure to go to the website ugsforlife.com and get that new Murder Master Music Show Fuck the World compilation. It just dropped, you know what I'm saying, on March 26th, in honor of the one and only godfather of gangster rap, Eazy-E. Let's bring on our guest tonight, Daniel Jordan, man. How you doing, brother?
What's good, Prez? Always good to talk to you, man.
Man, likewise. Last time we were talking, it was the beginning of this whole pandemic. How have you fared throughout this this crazy scenario we got playing out?
Wow, yeah, you're right, man. Like, and that was the very tip of everything, so it was all brand new. And say, like, a year later, here we are, and, man, it's just been a lot of just reflection. And just, if anything, unfortunately, it's taught me to be more, like, closed in and just take care of number one above everything else. And I don't know, man, I feel like it's kind of, like, made me drift a little bit from my fellow man, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, as an artist, the shows are shut down, the meet and greets, you getting out there, talking to the fans, interacting with them, all that's kind of shut down right now. So, I mean, as an artist, it really had to fuck with you, did it not?
Well, in a way, I didn't realize how much of a break I kind of needed from all of that. But what we would do, like, was very interactive with our audience, like, you know, meet and greets, taking pictures with people, and you take that out of the equation. And now when you see mass groups of people, you start to look at that as like the enemy. That's what the media has kind of caused us to do. So once I get back out in there, I don't know how I'm going to react to it, because I'm just so conditioned now to look at people like to avoid them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know what the next motherfucker's got. I mean, it could be
right.
COVID, or it could be the next pandemic. I mean, it's crazy. And you've made music about stuff like this.
Yeah, and unfortunately to say that, because that was like worst case scenario stuff, like where we imagine that this could be a possibility, but never in our wildest dreams actually could conceive it being a reality. And now that it's here, I think people like myself and artists like Isham or Mastermind or RLP, we kind of like mentally have been prepared for these kind of things. So I think we can maneuver with this world a little bit easier than some, but it doesn't make us feel any better by any means.
Your new album, Dark Night of the Soul, where did you come up with the title for this?
Well, Dark Night of the Soul is like a philosophical term. When I've been studying, especially over the last year, a lot of Marcus Aurelius and just teachings of Stoicism and reading, you know, like the 48 Laws of Power. And I kind of fell down this trip called the Dark Night of the Soul. And it's basically like when you reach a certain point in your life, for a lot of men, it's their 30s. You have sort of this existential crisis where you're taking in everything, all the darkness of the world, all the, you know, maybe you've gone through a divorce or you've dealt with some pain and adversity, and you're kind of reaching a point where you're questioning your existence. You're like, what is this? What does this mean? Is there any point to this? And in actuality, the Dark Night of the Soul teaches you that this is just an initiation for you to get to your next step of who you truly are. So you have to go through this darkness and understand it and conquer it in order to reach enlightenment, in a sense. So that's where it is right now. So unfortunately, we got to go through this dark rabbit hole first in order to come out on the other end.
It's almost kind of like dealing with a breakdown, in a sense.
Yeah, and I think it's completely normal, and it's okay that we go through this as beings. For a long time, a lot of people... I'm sorry, did I lose you? Here we go.
No, I'm here. Hello? You lost me now. Are you there?
All right, sorry. My phone got all fucked up.
There you are.
One moment. I just got home. But what were you saying? Let's go back to that.
We were just talking about, you know, the meaning of the Dark Night of the Soul, kind of like almost just like coping with whatever life is throwing at you.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we have like kept it a secret throughout these phases that we go through as human beings. And I think now is a time that we shed light on it and talk about it and come up with better coping mechanisms for it. The worst case scenario is when a person's feeling depression is they might want to turn to booze or drugs or even suicide or hurting others. But I feel like if you can talk about it and bring your problems out to the forefront, you can actually help get through them a little bit better and not turn the gun on yourself, so to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely. And your fans, you know, a lot of your fans, you know, I'm sure they appreciate you, you know, giving them you, everything that goes on within your life, whether it be about relationships or your struggles, because a lot of them are going through the same thing and they can relate.
Exactly. And I remember that. And that's what I do this for, in this sense. When I, you know, come to points in my life like, why am I still doing this? What is the purpose of this? And then I remember, like, you know what? I'm just a voice. I'm a messenger for whatever I'm going through to talk about it. And if someone else is and they can get something out of it, then that's the purpose of it. And it doesn't matter how many people, because at the end of the day, it could be 10, 10,000, 10 million. It's all relative. And as long as I'm continually putting out something creative back into the universe, I feel like my life does have purpose. So that's what this is for. Like the pain and struggles that I had to go through, it's all for a good cause, and it wasn't in vain. So that's how I look at it.
Well, whatever pain and struggle you're going through, I'm sure some of it can be eased away when you're going for a ride in that nice old school on the cover. Tell me about that beauty.
Man, I've had that for about 10 years now. That's been a project. Me and my mom, see, like, I grew up in a very old school classic car kind of family. So about 10 years ago, me and my mom, on my birthday, which is June 4th, 6-4, we decided to go in on a 64 and just from the ground up rebuild it and gone it. And now it's kind of like shining now. It's my baby. So that's been my project. And I'll tell you, man, it's not all sunshine and rainbows and cakewalk dealing with a car that's 60 years old. But
yeah,
it's been a fun project. A fucking money
yeah
pit.
Ever changing, I imagine.
Yeah.
Know.
But at
no,
the end of the day, like,
yeah,
I love old school cars, man. And, like, if I feel like I can be represented by a car, then why not a classic old school lowrider, you know? It sums up the album in a sense. It's just about, you know, just being really, really just exhausted and fed up with life itself, with relationships, with just the bullshit. And I got inspired by Fugazi, who I sampled on the hook. Like, it really resonated with me, and it, you know, I wrote lyrics to the song, the original song, and then just came out with this shit. It's very dark, though, so I give a warning to anyone who listens to this album, you know, make sure you know what you're getting into first. It's just heavy.
Real talk, real talk. We'll be right back with Daniel Jordan. Don't go anywhere. I'm so tired. Make sure to get the project, Dark Night of the Soul, available now.
Point in time, my boss, all my control, and some scholars could call it the dark night of the soul. We're so cold, and we spent so many seasons together. We withstood the winter and survived all of the stormy weather. But still, something had to tear us apart. When you took the ring off of your finger, you took a piece of my heart.
Straight modern day blues right there, man. You know, it hits you. You know, can't take it no more. You know, and you know that's, you know, like Van Halen's Jump. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, shit gets real and people really do have those thoughts. When you make music like that, it's kind of like letting them know that, hey, you're not alone.
Laying all the cards on the table. Basically, like, you know what, you can't just give me a year like 2020 and not expect me to really get inside my head with it, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, it was the times we're living in, and it was just a reflection of that.
Motivation.
Very, yeah, very, like, you know, out for yourself and survive and just take care of the ones closest to you and fuck it. Fuck everyone else, man, unfortunately.
What about, you know, I'm saying the COVID? A lot of people have gotten it. Did you get it, or were you able to dodge it?
Yeah. So I got it on Christmas Day, of all things, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got it. I just ended up with it. But and I spent Christmas Eve with my family, my son, everyone. But luckily, I didn't give it to nobody. As soon as I found out I got it, like, you know, a day or two later, I just quarantined for 2 weeks straight and just fought the shit on my own. And I'll tell you, that was a fucked up couple of weeks because, I didn't have contact with anyone in the physical sense. I just stayed at home all day, all night by myself. And, through that time I was able to finish my album, which is a positive, but, just a lot of time in your head. And a lot of people had to go through that shit. Hence why these times are rather dark. I'm still having breathing troubles with it. It's harder for me to breathe. I just kind of power through it. You know, just cowboy the fuck up. But if I wasn't in the health I was in, and even at the age I'm at, I don't know, man. I could see how it could kill people, you know?
Yeah. Somebody that's not in the best of health, but you're dealing with it now. What did it, like, scar up the lungs a little bit, or?
Yeah, it's like when I had my first initial symptoms, I thought it was a sinus infection because, like, breathing through my nose, it just felt like it was obstructed. Like I had some shit in my nose, and even to this day now, it's been like what, 3 months, and I still have trouble breathing through my nose. It feels like just it's plugged up. So I like to be active and exercise a lot. And you do that at the gym, they make you wear a mask as well. So having that on top of already having trouble breathing, man, it's a fucking mountain to climb. But,
you know, that's crazy. I've heard that, you know, we had Court Dog from No Limit on, and he had the COVID as well. And he said the same thing. It fucked up his, you know, his taste and his lungs afterwards.
We just lost Marvin Hagler to the vaccine, right?
Oh, man. The best middleweight probably of all time other than Sugar Ray Robinson.
Man, I'm telling you, man. Like the Four Horsemen, man. Like they revolutionized boxing.
Yeah. 7 or 8 years, I think he went undefeated. And then he had that controversial loss to Sugar Ray, which a lot of people think he won.
But
Marvin Hagler, and then right before that, Hank Aaron.
I missed that. Holy shit. He died of COVID?
Yeah. They said now he got the second shot from the vaccine. He died shortly after that. And that Tommy Hearns was saying the same thing about Hagler.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know, man. It's crazy, crazy times. You know,
what did Tommy Hearn say exactly? Because I found out Marvin Hagler's wife is super mad at Tommy Hearns.
Okay, if you go to his, I think his Twitter or IG, I don't even know the difference anymore, but if you go to one of those two, he said that keep Marvin in your prayers. He having a little setback after the second COVID vaccine. So he actually said this before he passed away, while he was in the hospital, and then he passed away. And some people are, you know, because of that tweet, are suggesting it was because of the vaccine. You know. I'm not telling any listeners to get it or not get it. That's your individual choice if you want to do it or not. We're not trying to discourage anybody from doing anything, you know, but this is the story that's going around, you know. You got to pay attention. And the sad thing is, you know, those guys, I mean, shit, look what they lived through. You know, their lives are amazing. Mm-hmm. Simply fucking marvelous. You know, you're a fighter. You're more into MMA though, aren't you?
I love boxing too, though. Boxing was my first love. I grew up with all that shit. When I was a kid, the Four Horsemen were real big. So I caught on like the very tail end of that. But nowadays, man, it's all about MMA. But don't get me wrong. Every big boxing fight, you know, I'm all in with that shit. Like Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. I'm super excited for that.
I don't see Anthony beating him. I mean, if he does, he's going to have to just go all out. But when people do that, Tyson usually makes him look stupid, you know? So.
Yeah.
But then again, Josh was a two-time Olympic medalist, so.
Josh
was
awesome, but he's also very young still, and he doesn't have quite the experience that, you know, Fury has. He grew up in this shit, and he's just too slick. He moves around the ring like middleweight, and I mean, his power is underrated as fuck. People say he don't have power, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyone over 230 pounds could knock out anyone on this planet with the right shot. And I just think it's going to be Fury dancing around the ring. It's going to go to a decision. Fury unanimous, in my opinion.
Yeah. Unless Fury does that, you know, crunk style like he did with Sugar Hill to beat Wilder. I mean, he decimated Wilder. He beat the man so bad he's made up about 50 excuses, starting with his what he wore to the ring. It was a bit too heavy for him.
I hate that because I love Deontay Wilder, and that shit like, broke my heart hearing him like just so delusional about it. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm a big Fury fan, and I was rooting for Fury, but man, Deontay Wilder's story to me is straight up inspiring. And for him to not be able to accept that loss, I mean, the world saw it. We all saw the same thing. You know, you can't really fool the public.
But, shit, man, I don't want to keep you on the line talking about boxing. We could probably talk about it forever.
We could talk about boxing all day. Before we switch topics, I'll say this, though. Look how Anthony Joshua handled his loss against Ruiz. And what did he do? He fought the smarter fight the second time around and did what he needed to do to get his belt back. And Wilder is just, he's still very immature in that sense. I'm hoping, like any true man, we all have to suffer defeats in our life at times, setbacks. And it shows what we're made of from how we come back from it.
Yeah, 100%, man. He definitely needs a challenger. So he needs to get in the ring with somebody and just improve his game. He probably needs to switch up with them trainers because him firing Breland to me was a mistake. I'll just say this and I'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Breland saved his life. He was getting mutilated. He was getting mutilated. It was only a few more punches and that could have been it. So
I thought it should have been stopped a couple rounds before that, honestly.
Yeah, fifth round. Definitely the fifth round. When he had him up against the ropes, you hear this lady screaming. It's probably his wife. That's when they should have stopped it. I mean, because he wasn't really fighting back, and he was out of there. But I want to give him another track off Dark Night of the Soul. This one here is Don't Worry. Tell everybody about this one.
Oh, this song is straight up like, I was heavily influenced by watching Sopranos a lot over the last year, and it's just straight up on your, like, look over your shoulder, keep a gun on you, don't trust anybody, and, you know, fuck it, man. Go out in a blaze.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure to go out and get this project, you know what I'm saying, Dark Night of the Soul, available right now. We're going to get into this track, and we're going to come back and top it up a little bit more with Daniel Jordan. Don't go nowhere.
Everything was lost. I pack a gun just in case I run into anyone I cross. I separated myself from the rest of society. It's like having everyone I love die to me. And I'm taking care of number one. I'm not there for no one. You're so dumb. I just need you around to make me come. But even then, I'm getting sick of sex. I'll go ghost if you give me a good morning text. I ain't the one. Too much love makes the heart weak. Sometimes I fall off the face of the earth and I don't want to speak. And my love can disappear without a warning. And last night, I'm not the same man that I am in the morning. With all the changing seasons of my life, maybe I'll finally get it right next time and try to find a wife. But why the fuck am I even pretending? Because a man like me ain't supposed to have a happy ending. Don't worry, time flies by in a hurry. And until then, there's nothing you can say that'll hurt me. There's nothing left in the end, the grand prize is death. This life takes so long, so I won't hold my breath. And don't worry, time flies by in a hurry. And until then, there's nothing you can say that'll hurt me. There's nothing left in the end, the grand prize is death. This life takes so long, so I won't hold my breath. I have this worry, the pain is like a spiritual fall. It'll take a miracle if I could stay here with you all. But it wasn't my destiny, because I'm just a messenger. I tried love, but it wasn't meant for me, so I left her. And it's too late to turn back, I finally reached the end. Even though the fries fucks are coming around the bend, and there's nothing you can say that could convince me to stay. And I hope and I pray that we'll meet again someday. But if we don't, it doesn't matter, you could tell me goodbye. I take comfort in the fact I finally get to die. I've seen more in my life than most will ever have the privilege to see. But now I've seen too much, it's taking a toll on me. And I've turned jaded, I live to be hated. And I'm stating that we are not the same, let's stay separated. I used to feel like a phoenix reborn, but I tried too many times and I don't think I could survive this. Don't worry, time flies by in a hurry. And until then, there's nothing you can say that'll hurt me. There's nothing left in the end, the grand prize is death. This life takes so long, so I won't hold my breath. And don't worry, time flies by in a hurry. And until then, there's nothing you can say that'll hurt me. There's nothing left in the end, the grand prize is death. This life takes so long, so I won't hold my breath. And don't worry, last time with a blue moon in my eyes, I stopped talking to women because I'm through with the lies. I disappeared and everybody moved on with their lives. Even my ex-girlfriend turned into somebody else's wife. I'm living 500 days of summer. I never got what I want, but I'm always left to wonder. I lost trust deep down. All I need is your touch. But sometimes it feels like I'm asking for too much. Cause only the one who hurts you can heal your pain. But until then, you make everyone feel the same. Now everything is ruined. And what the fuck am I doing? I keep hurting another person. However, I'm moving and I'm just passing through. And I know that I won't stay. My soul can't be saved. So there's no point to pray. Why do I always gotta scream and have to see your face? Call it our last goodbye. This is our last embrace. Don't worry, don't worry. Time flies by in a hurry. And until then, there's nothing you can say that'll hurt me. There's nothing left in the end. The grand prize is death. This life takes so long, so I won't hold my breath. And don't worry, time flies by in a hurry. And until then, there's nothing you can say that'll hurt me. There's nothing left in the end. The grand prize is death. This life takes so long, so I won't hold my breath. And don't worry.
Right there, man. That shit's hard. You know what I'm saying? It's funk, too. straight funk. Dolomite and Blowfly would be proud of that shit, man. That's another thing I always like touching on a little bit, because you're like the only guy that's worked with both of them. That has to be an amazing feat for you right there.
Man, like, you know what's crazy is, like, we did that shit, like, what, 15 years ago? And
yeah.
I still keep getting asked about it. Like, it was a historic moment. I didn't realize at the time, man. So, like, that shit aged remarkably well, you know? Let me give a plug right now for Rudy Ray Moore's biography. It's about to drop a book. And they started, like, they're going to do it completely, like, crowdsourced. So they just started a campaign for it. And my stories of him, like, in the tail end of his life, are going to be in the book, which is fucking incredible. Like, to think at the time that this shit would, like, just be going down historically, man, it's fucking mind-blowing. So I don't even know how to process that, man. I'm just kind of, like, in awe of the whole situation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge right there. I mean, to be mentioned in that book, you know, that's an amazing thing right there. And when is it dropping again?
I don't know. I don't know the release date right now, but I know that it's going to be coming out sometime this year. I'm sure once it, you know, closes in on that, we'll have more info. But it's done. It's written. I've seen, like, the manuscript of it. I haven't read it yet, but I know that it exists and it's done. So I'm excited for it, man. Like, what I'm saying now, like, as of 2021, like, just to the young cats coming up in the game, like, surround yourself around people that make history, and maybe you'll make history too by default, by proxy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's amazing. You know, because and you got to think, Eddie Murphy just did the movie, too.
Yeah, that just came out last summer.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that.
That, and the same with, you know, just dropped Coming to America. What, did you see that?
Unfortunately, man, I couldn't finish it. I just, you know, I'm such a big fan of the first one.
Yeah. Some things are not.
I give him a pass,
with,
though.
Right?
Yeah, like, the first one's a fucking classic. Like, that movie and Trading Places, like, man, those are my shit right there.
Yeah.
I felt like he was reaching a lot with that one. Like, it just, you know, reeked of money grab, which, don't get me wrong, get your money, but as a fan of art, I don't know, man, I just wasn't really, like, blown away by it.
Yeah, me either. And plus, certain things, man, they should just be left alone. Like movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or Rocky or The Exorcist, you really don't want to fuck with those, you know, because, I mean, they're timeless.
I'll fuck with Rocky III, though, man. Come on, Rocky III is the shit.
No, I mean, like, if someone was to do a new Rocky, you know,
yeah.
I don't mean the sequels. Yeah, Rocky III was great. Mr. T was amazing in that. He was probably my favorite villain.
For real,
out of
dude,
all
he killed
of
it.
Yeah. Well,
he owned that whole movie.
He had that Marvin Hagler intensity, though, you know.
Yeah.
He was just stone cold, just fucking vicious. And Stallone, he couldn't deal with him that first go around. He didn't know what the fuck to
do. No. Well,
Look
at the training sequences. Like, you got fucking Mr. T training in the shadows, hungry. Fucking Rocky's like having basically like a glorified party at his training camp.
This project here, is it also available on CD?
Yeah.
Cool,
it might be one of the last ones I do on CD, honestly. Like, the process for getting this on CD has been a fucking nightmare. Like, we're not getting the physical copies until, like, the first week of April. I got them all, like, specially packaged in this purple casing, and I got them all pressed up professionally, and due to COVID and all that, what should have took 2 weeks is taking, like, 2 months. So I'm going to do it for the collectors and the fans out there that want the CDs, and I made it very special for them, so I hope they enjoy it. But, man, I think the CD businesses are really starting to go the way of the dodo, and this last run of doing pressing albums, I'm starting to see that, you know?
Yeah. You know, I see a lot of people, you know, they're getting back into cassette tapes. You know, first it was the vinyl. vinyl. Now the tapes are coming back. Some people are selling USBs. There's all kinds of ways to sell your merch nowadays. But vinyl is fucking expensive to press. Yeah, I mean, it's just a ridiculous amount of money for pieces of vinyl. Have you done much vinyl over the years? Or you stayed
away
from
it? I got 4 albums on vinyl, and it is ridiculously expensive. So I'm kind of at that point where it's like, you can do vinyl now, like, make to order, you know? Like, you don't have to, like, press up 500. You do, like, you know, 10 at a time if you want. So I tell my audience, I'm like, listen, it costs X amount of dollars to make this shit. If you want it, you're going to have to come out the pockets, and that's on you. But I'm not going to, like, force people to have to, you know, pay astronomical amounts for something. It's kind of just, like, for the people that got some expendable income and like to collect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of people, you know, they look at it from a collective standpoint, too. Like, they'll go to get the Isham catalog or your catalog, and they'll get one album, and they're like, you know what, I got to get them all. And, you know, that's a good thing to do if you got the money to press, you know. We got one more joint we're going to go to, man. We're going to get out of here, but before we do, I want to give you the floor. Man, let them know where they can get the album and anything else, man. It's all yours, brother.
Okay. Yeah, man, so this album, I produced the whole thing minus Don't Worry. My boy DJ Ghost actually just dropped a beat in my inbox one day as like a gift from above. He's like, here, check this beat out. You can have it. And I wrote that song like immediately. In like 15 minutes, it was done. But the rest of the album, that was just my creation with my MPC in the year 2020, you know. And I got back into producing. It'd been like the first time I produced like an album through since The Twilight. So I hope people really enjoy the tracks and the production on there because I worked really hard with that. And they can get it at killedbylove.com. And the CDs are available. And, you know, cop that shit. I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, support. Definitely. Definitely. This last one here is, I believe this one's called Everywhere. Tell everybody about
this song. This song right here, this is one of my favorite jams on the album. It's kind of like a love song, but like a Fatal Attraction kind of like stalking kind of vibe. But I could see how the ladies would really like that because, I don't know, man. Sometimes I believe there's a lot of women that have these kind of like stalker or kidnap fantasies. So I kind of tapped into that just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, definitely a serious artist, man. Salute to you. Keep making music. Keep doing what you're doing. And, man, I hope things get better with your lungs and shit from that COVID, man. That's fucked up.
Thank you, man. Dude, it was hard to power through the album with COVID, I'm telling you, but I made it work. I just had to, like, really just suck it up and just go for it. But real quick, just to, like, correct what I'm saying with that last track about women having stalker and kidnap fantasies, that's only because I know they'd be watching shows like You and things like that, and they're very popular. So I'm just, like, doing my interpretation of that. I'm not going to kidnap nobody.
Yeah. Oh, no. Just like we don't murder anybody. You know, that's just we murder microphones. That's what we do. Or actually, my guests murder microphones. I can't rap a lick. But here we go. This is Everywhere, Daniel Jordan. You know, make sure to go get the project. You know what I'm saying? Dark Night of the Soul, available right now. Support them. And, man, we'll see you real soon. Murder Master.
forget. I really wanna go back to the night that we met, cause it was love at first sight, it was set in stone. If I'd have known that I'd end up alone, I'd still take that chance and do it over again, because it made me a much better man in the end. But shit, since you've been gone, my life is so surreal. It's like I ran out of time to make you mine, it feels, but still, it's like only your love can turn me around. And now I got my head out of the clouds and I'm back on the ground. I had you set in my trap when I caught you. For days and days, you're like my prey when I stalk you. They tell me to let it go, but they don't see what I saw. It won't stop until we're falling in love. Or the cops get called, now what the fuck? Can't you see what you've done? You really need to stop playing around and let me be the one. You gotta let me be the one. Stop playing around and let me be the one. You gotta let me be the one. Stop playing around and let me be the one. Because I'm still craving the touch. Man, I wish I didn't miss it so much. Cause everyone that I met has never been enough. It's just a revolving door with different women. I'm so used to seeing the end in the very beginning. Even though I'll never see her again, I know in my heart we were meant for each other, but had to tear it apart. And could I see her again if I want to? Believe me that I know how to find her, but choose not to. I had to let her go cause my blood ran cold. She was feeling herself too much and turned bold. And the truth is I taught her all the things she knows, but on the final exam she'll have to learn on her own. And shit, I'll never forget the last night we met, cause we were shells of ourselves filled with hate and regret. Yet I guarantee she's gonna love me again. If it's the last thing I do, she's gonna see who I am. Because you gotta let me be the one. Stop playing around and let me be the one. And I can't focus at work. You took all my memory. I can't vibe to this song like I used to. Cause in the back of my mind I'd always knew that I'd lose you. Cause all I want and all I need is you. All I see is you. What do I need to do? I gotta make a confession. You are my obsession. You fill me with pain, but then you ease my depression. Man, you left me with demons and I don't get a night's sleep. Certain things I'll never have again, and things I have to keep. I gave you everything I had and then some. Your selfish ass gave me some and left none. I lay in bed and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Cause every night I'm still haunted by the ghost of you. And if neither one of us could find another, then tell me why the fuck are